Welcome to Second Emulation Podcast. Are you a Soul Reaper or a ninja who comes from the Leaf Village? Maybe you died and were sent to a fantasy world. What do these references have in common? They're from anime, and I myself just recently started watching Bleach and Naruto.
Today I'm going to be talking about what animes I'm currently watching at this time that are part of the spring lineup, and if there's anything new that I picked up since the spring lineup has been announced on Crunchyroll. Now, for those who don't know, spring lineup, that term spring, is anime that comes to the West, comes in seasonal. So fall, winter, spring, and summer. New ones are added and then are removed. Those who get picked up, they'll be announced when at a specific season that they'll a specific seasonal drop. Similar to Netflix, where they every couple of months they'll announce, hey, these shows are leaving and these are the ones that we're picking up. Similar concept, just it happens on a seasonal base for Crunchyroll and Funimation and High Dive. Now, where I actually watch my anime is Crunchyroll, since I'm a paid subscriber. This is not a sponsor or anything, but just want to let everyone know who does listen that I'm a big fan of anime, and I grew up watching it as a kid. Dragon Ball Z was my favorite. Vegeta, of course, my favorite character. I have a tattoo on my forearm of Vegeta, so I was very involved as a kid watching Dragon Ball Z, the dub version. That doesn't necessarily mean that I continue watching dubs now. I have since transitioned to watching majority of my anime in Japanese, or the term that we use in the community is sub. And then for English voice acting, we use the term dub. Now, this is not to ostracize anyone who prefers one or the other. How you like to watch anime is all up to you. My preference for a while has been sub, and you know, Dragon Ball Z is and Bleach are the only two that I will watch dub, since I grew up watching it dub, and it just seems a ways to watch them in Japanese since I grew up on those. Now, an example of an anime that you'll see time to time on a different seasonal lineup would probably be My Hero Academia. My Hero Academia has several seasons and it's been ongoing for quite some time. You'll see My Hero Academia on the lineup for each seasonal drop fairly a lot. And then new anime that gets picked up will also be part of that seasonal drop. Another big name for those who are One Piece fan, One Piece is also an anime that just goes on forever, but it also will show up on that lineup because it's continuing, you know, until the show ends. It will always be part of that, the seasonal lineups going forward as it's still ongoing. Now, with anime, I'm very particular with anime that I watch, but I'm pretty much simple also. So I like action. I like action growing up with Dragon Ball Z, you know, and having that high octane action fight scenes with very minimal story was like the best. I have grown up since then and been exposed to different animes and different genres of anime, as there's different categories of anime, which I'm not going to get into, but they're just different genres, different categories, and utilizing Crunchyroll, I've been exposed to all this plethora of anime content on the streaming service. But my taste really leans into action, drama, and isekai, which is essentially people being transferred from the modern world to a fantasy world, which I like fantasy, so it's no wonder why I'm drawn to animes like that. But yes, the animes have their action, drama, and have to have a compelling story, or I'm not going to watch it. Now, my anime watch list is always changing. So there's always going to be some permanent anime, permanent shows that stay on there that I like to keep so I can just go back and have rewatch or have rewatch value to them. So there's some that I'm not going to name, but they get like honorable mentions. So one of them is going to be Dragon Ball Z. Second is Sword Art Online, Hack.Sign, Rising of the Shield Hero, My Hero Academia, Bleach, Digimon, Inuyasha, Cowboy Bebop, Yu Hakusho. And I think that's all of them that gets an honorable mention. Now, from those, the ones I'm currently watching that actually have a current season right now is going to be Rising of the Shield Hero, which is on their season 2. I actually started watching this last year when it was on Funimation. I binge watched the whole first season just so I can get caught up, and they do have them on. Now, some new shows that I've picked up or started watching is Spy X Family, which is like what the name implies is it's going to be a lot of involving around spies and family. Don't want to give too much away, but it's essentially very James Bond centered and a lot of hijinks. I don't want to give too much away about it, but that's one I've picked up. The next one's going to be is in a sports anime. It's called Birdie Wing Golf Girl, which I normally like to try and watch a sports anime and give it the 3 episodes and then determine if I'm going to continue watching it. But for those who don't know, anime sports shows are very different. They're very so elusive, they're dramatized that it can be overwhelming for some who don't know what to expect. And Bird Wing Golf Girl is one of those shows that does check all those boxes for a sports anime that's dramatized to its limits. You got internal monologues, you got people naming their swings as if it was like a special move. It's a good, entertaining anime, but that's something to expect from any type of sports anime that does come out. Now, this one I heard a lot about when I saw people giving it good reviews and I wanted to try it, which is Kaguya-sama Love is War. And it's a very interesting anime in the sense that you have two people who are polar opposites. Now, when you think of love, you think more so in the traditional sense of boy likes girl and vice versa, boy falls in love with girl, vice versa. And then it becomes what this anime is categorized as a slice of life because the characters are in high school, and that's very typical in the early stage of coming to their own or becoming their own person, internal growth. But what's interesting about this anime is that this pretty much ignores all that. They don't follow any tropes that you would find in a regular high school dynamic or hierarchy. The two main characters actually view any type of courtship as a strategy, essentially. Every courtship act that either one performs, they view it as a way to get one to one up the other person. It's more tactical than they're just doing it out of kindness. Everything is thought out beforehand. And it's interesting just to see it play out. Normally, an example would be the main male character would give a gift to the female main character, and what would just be like a kind gesture, you would see the whole internal monologue of this exchange from the male's point and the female's point of, you know, what it means for the gift, what does it mean, oh, he got me this, what is it, like just a laundry list of just things. And I find it very interesting Now, this did get a season two. I'm currently on season one, and it's been very entertaining since the first episode. Another one that I just picked up that was announced for spring is Skeleton Knight in Another World. Now, this is categorized as an isekai, and don't know if I'm butchering that word, but it is in the category of someone who's transported into a fantasy world. Now, with this category, the main character is sometimes overpowered in most cases, and it normally takes on like an RPG or a Japanese RPG game turnstile in these fantasy settings. So that's something to keep in mind with certain fantasy animes where the main character does end up in the fantasy world, that they pull a lot of inspiration from Japanese RPGs. A good example would be the turn-based Final Fantasy game for those who either played or had a Sony PlayStation. A lot of examples and references can be pulled from those games. And you see that very evident in lots of these fantasy type animes. Now, the next one that I picked up, which was a little bit interesting because it kind of reminded me of Squid Games, which was on Netflix, this anime is called Tomodachi Game. Now, the reason why I picked this one up, and as I mentioned, it looked and felt like an anime version of Squid Games. And it, to hit the nail on the head, is that it is. It's a little bit different. No one's actually dying to play these games, but it is structured as a game for a very select individuals of high school students who owe money, who are in debt, essentially. And so what that entails is that this game pulls all these characters together who have a debt, and the winner of this so-called game has their debt cleared, while the losers have to be burdened with that debt. They take on that debt. So there can only be one winner. So everyone either shares a debt and only one can have their debt wiped. It's a very good thriller in a sense. It's a thriller and a drama. And it does play a lot of head games, as the first episode sets up what the risk and rewards are. So it's very interesting. Not sure if I'll continue watching it. For me, I like to give animes 3 episodes to see if I'm fully going to dive into it. But yeah, this is just one I picked up because I liked the summary. I liked what the premise of the anime was about. But not sure if I'll continue watching it. I'll have to see how it goes. My next one is actually an ongoing anime called Case Closed, which it's called Case Closed Detective Conan. Now, this is like your sleuth Sherlock Holmes type anime. The premise for this one is that the main character actually takes a drug or gets hit by something that turns him into a kid. And so he's then stuck as a kid. But he's highly intellect, so he still retains his adult brain in a sense, but he's trapped in a child body. Now, the difference between this, like the premise of this anime in particular, is that he does solve crime or cases, but he does it in a sense that he's not present. So he does things behind the scenes and he gives credit to the authorities, which is similar to what Sherlock Holmes does for all cases. The next one is going to be Classroom of Elite, which is not necessarily a slice of life anime, but more so of a thriller and a drama, in a sense that the premise is that these kids go to a school that produces politicians, governors, geniuses, CEOs of big company, just essentially the elite of the world. And this school helps bring those students onto the world as those type of professions or careers. Now, the premise for this one is that while they are in school and they'll have every luxury provided for them, it is a point-based system. So everything in the school and the confines of the school can be bought with points. So it's going to be a very unique dynamic. And then the one I just finished, which is called The Ranking of Kings, which is a good anime. This one is a fantasy type anime, and it centers around older brother wants to be king, so he undercuts his younger brother and attempts to assassinate him to keep the bloodline, to keep the throne, actually. And with that, you do a deeper dive as to what was really going on, and you find out that there's a mysterious evil shadow pulling the strings. Who can forget about Demon Slayer? Demon Slayer was actually not a recent pickup. It was a pickup early on when they announced the season and the first season. It was one of those animes that I looked into and saw some good reviews and watched it and been thoroughly entertained by. But it's been one that I extremely enjoy just for how the animation is on the show, the storyline, the character development. I give it 5 stars across the board for this particular anime. And I'm currently caught up on Demon Slayer. They just finished their second arc, or their third arc if you count the Mugen Train, which was a movie which introduced some other characters. But they just finished second to third arc. They're going to be leading up into their next arc, which will be hopefully dropping around summer or fall. So I'm excited about that. The other one is then Jobless Reincarnation, which is, again, an isekai with the main character from a modern world. Trent dies and is transported to a fantasy world. This one was actually different. Now, isekais sometimes can be a hit or miss. And the reason why they can be hit or miss were they could follow a trope where it could be very campy, where the main character is pervy or he's surrounded by all these girls. So there normally can be hit or miss with these animes, especially with this genre. And you kind of have to comb through and pick out and read the summary and make a judgment on which one you want to watch. But I particularly like this one in the sense that it borders on that line of trope, of being tropey sometimes. But the way the main character is written and how he is brought to this new world and how he has the memories of his old world and he applies those memories and knowledge that he has to help him progress in this new fantasy world is done very well. And you can see that the character himself isn't perfect. Like, he doesn't start off perfect. Like, he has internal issues that he is struggling with. As I mentioned about tropes for animes, this is that one of those tropes is that the main character is perfect. He's overpowered to a sense. And then the women are like, flocked him in a sense for that because he's so overpowered. For this one, it's the opposite, and I thought it was a real good anime. Looking forward to the next season. Now, My Hero Academia, which has been out for a while, season 5 has ended. They should be gearing up for their next season, but this is actually on my watch list and has been on my watch list for a while as new seasons come out, and it's going to be on there in a permanent spot on my watch list. Same with Attack on Titan. Sword Art Online has also have a permanent spot on my watch list just for the fact that it was the first anime that I watched since getting a Crunchyroll account back in, I think, 2015. It's been a long time, but it's has a permanent spot on my watch list because it brought me back into watching anime after a hiatus of sorts. Now, there are a few of them on here that are campy. They're campy, if to say the least. Dragon Ball Super's on there. Bleach. Yu Yu Hakusho is on my list as well. Another one of my favorites that's on my watch list that has a permanent spot is Rurouni Kenshin. Now, this anime that I'm about to mention is a sleeper. And a sleeper in the sense that it wasn't what I expected. And that's going to be That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. Now, it's also an isekai. I don't know if I'm saying that word correctly. But this one follows that same dynamic where the main character, dies and then is reincarnated as a new person. Promptly, he was reincarnated as a slime. Now, as I mentioned, you know, certain animes like this, the character is overpowered. This one, not so much. This one, the character is essentially squishy, has one hit point, and if they ding a rock, they could die. So this one is very the opposite of any type of anime that follows the being transported to a fantasy world. Now, the final one on my list is going to be Boruto. Now, I know some people will say Boruto isn't great, or they don't like it. It's just another Naruto. And yes, those can all be true. You know, in my opinion, the show wasn't trying to be anything else than a continuation of its predecessor. The main character's name is one single letter difference from Naruto. It wasn't trying to be original. It's just trying to build upon the foundation of its predecessor. And you know what? I like it. I watch it because the real reason why you're watching Boruto is for Naruto and the old cast and crew, which they are sprinkled on there. And Boruto does fall into a situation where you have to reference Naruto, and people who are fans of Naruto can rejoice. It's one that I'm currently watching, and I wouldn't say it's hard to digest, but it's hard to move to progress through the anime. Not to say that I don't like it, it's just it falls back on its predecessors a lot, and so it's hard to watch it at times when you know, okay, they have to reference a lot from the past. So this one, I would say, if you haven't watched any Naruto, I wouldn't recommend watching this one because it does make heavy references to the predecessor series. So if you don't want to be confused, I would say stay clear from this if you want. Now, if you haven't watched Naruto and you want to watch this one because this one's interesting, go ahead. Just know that the show itself does do a lot of referencing and build up, but it will make more sense if you have some kind of background knowledge of the story, the core of the environment of all the major players in the anime, so you don't seem confused by what's going on. And I think as far as anime and my current watch list, that pretty much sums it up. Now, this spring lineup is going to be ending, and there'll be some transition of animes leaving and some new ones that are added for the summer. And this is not like a traditional anime watch list. I'm probably going to, you know, change this up a bit, but I will be updating certain episodes of what I'm currently watching, what's been removed and what's been added. This is just an introductory episode or introductory into that. Further episodes of me talking about what I'm currently watching for anime will be more cleaned up than this. But that's all the time I have today, and I'll see you in the next one.
Here are some announcements about the podcast. We're now listed in Apple, Amazon, Stitcher, and Google. There will be a social media accounts in the works, so I will be able to interact with anyone who listen. Also, if you like what you hear, let us know by giving rate and a review on the podcast.